Good morning. It's good to see you here this morning. I knew we would not have a record crowd here this morning because of the way things are right now with the virus and those kind of things. There has been a surge in that, and I know that there are a number who have been with us that are practicing caution at this time, and that is certainly understandable. Hopefully, you are all watching through live stream, and if so, we welcome you to our service, and we have visitors with us this morning. We want you to know that we're happy that you've come our way as well. You're an encouragement. Your presence here this morning is an encouragement to us. Well, in, 4 days is going to be Thanksgiving, and so it should come as no surprise to you that we're going to talk this morning about Thanksgiving. We're going to talk about things that we already know, but that I think it's good to remind ourselves of from time to time, the need to be thankful. And we're going to do that this morning. And I want to begin by going over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul gives to us really three foundational attributes that each Christian is to have in his life. He says in verse 16, "Rejoice always." And then in verse 17, "Pray without ceasing." And then in verse 18, "In everything, give thanks." And he concludes those three statements with the idea that for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is what God wants you to do. These are the attitudes that you're to have as you serve Jesus Christ. And as I said, there are three really foundational attributes or attitudes that each Christian is to have. And we see that in the adjectives that are attached to joy and praying and being thankful. Notice he says, "Rejoice always." And he says, "Pray without ceasing." And he says, "In everything, give thanks." And so these are adverbs of degree. And he says, to the highest degree, we're to have this joy. We're to have trust. And we'll talk about the connection between trust and praying in just a moment. And in everything, to be thankful to God. And so the emphasis, I think, on this is that these attitudes, these attributes that we have in our lives are not to be every once in a while things, that when we think about it, you know, once a week or so, we might remember to be joyful, or we might think about praying to God, having trust in God and things every once in a while, or to be thankful to God, you know, maybe every week or 2 weeks or every month or once a year, remember to be thankful to God. No, these are things that are part of our lives, our everyday lives. When he says pray without ceasing, I don't think he's saying there that we need to be praying 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That certainly would be impossible. What he's saying is make that a foundational principle of your life that you are constantly devoted to. And the same would be rejoice always. He's not saying there that there are times in which it is maybe more difficult to rejoice than others. What he's saying is that joy is to be a foundational principle of your life. And certainly Thanksgiving needs to be the same way, even though we may set aside a day of the year, as society does, in which to really emphasize the need to be thankful. We need to be people who are constantly thankful, who are always remembering, every day of our lives, remembering why we can be thankful to God and the blessings that God has showered upon us. He says that's what God wants for you. That's what Jesus Christ wants for you, to be people of joy and people of trust and people of thankfulness. Let's take a look at these each individually. We're not going to spend much time on joy and trust, because Thursday is not joy giving, it's not trust giving, it is thanksgiving. And so we're going to spend the lion's share of our time on the idea of thankfulness, but just very quickly, these other two attributes of joy and trust. He says, rejoice always. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul notes that joy is an essential part of being part of the kingdom of heaven. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Now it appears from what he writes before this that the disagreements that were going on in the church at Rome, some were eating, some were not eating, and they were judging one another in this matter. And I think going along with that would be, I am more foundationally established in the kingdom of God because I don't eat than you are with your eating, and vice versa between the two. What Paul wants them to know is that the kingdom of God is not about these physical things that we give ourselves to or that we refrain ourselves from. Eating and drinking is not what the kingdom of God is about. It's not about the physical aspects of life. It is about spiritual principles, spiritual foundations of righteousness and peace. And joy, joy being one of those essential things that we have because we are a part of the kingdom of God. And then over in chapter 15, in verse 13, Paul's prayer for them is, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Notice he joins together there. Belief and peace and joy and hope. And I really think that what he is saying there is that belief brings peace and joy. And peace and joy then establish the hope we have of eternal salvation. So joy is important for us in establishing ourselves and in helping us to really concentrate on the hope that we have of eternal life. And then Galatians 5 and verse 22, joy is produced by the influence of the Spirit in our lives. It is the second of the fruits of the Spirit that Paul lists there, right behind love. He says a fruit of the Spirit is joy as well. That is, joy is something that is produced in us by the influence of the Holy Spirit. Not in some kind of a better felt than told kind of way, but as we take that which the Spirit has given to us, as we understand the revelation of God through His Spirit, the things contained in the Word of God, as we put that into our hearts, the result of that is going to be a joy in living, a joy in knowing that eternal life is ours. And so he says, rejoice always. I like what Columba Marmion had to say about it. He said, "Joy is the echo of God's life within us." I really like that statement. That is, the joy that we have is an echo or a reflection of the joy that God has. God puts that joy in us as we believe in Him, as we obey Him, as we have that hope in us of eternal life, then we have that joy. So again, joy is a foundational attribute for us in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Secondly, trust. He says, pray without ceasing. And you may ask, well, what in the world does trust and pray have to do with one another? I'll tell you, they are companions to one another. We pray because we trust. we realize the power that is in prayer because we trust God that He is and that He is a rewarder of us. We trust that in Him. And as we trust that God loves us and God wants to reward us and that God cares for us, as that is vibrant in our life, then our prayer life becomes vibrant as well. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul gives this instruction to the Philippians. He says, "Be anxious for nothing." Again, there's one of those kind of superlative kind of statements. What are we going to be anxious about? Paul says, don't be anxious for anything. Not the small things, not the big things. Don't let them destroy your joy by being overly anxious, worried about those kinds of a thing. Don't do that. But what? But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. He says, let your requests be made known to God. And so prayer is the anxiety buster. As we trust in God, and that trust in God is reflected by the fact that we go to Him in prayer, then our anxiety drifts away. Don't you feel that? When your prayer life is what it ought to be, when you're feeling anxious and you go to God in prayer, don't you feel in that trust in God? Don't you feel a relief of that anxiety? And don't you feel what He says in the next verse, the peace of God, it really passes understanding, guarding your heart and your mind. And so trust is integral. Trust is a foundational attribute of the Christian. Romans 12, verses 11 and 12. Notice how prayer energizes there. He says in verse, let's start in verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. And so He's already started us in verses 9 and 10 down this road of energetic Christianity. Love being without hypocrisy. Let love be genuine. Let love be fervent. And the same with these other things. And then in verse 11, He really hits the nail on the head as far as fervency of our Christianity is concerned. He says, verse 11, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. So especially there in verse 11, He says, you know, let your ferventness in Christianity go to the nth degree. Don't put any clamps on your fervor to serve the Lord and to be joyful in the Lord. And what's going to help that? In fact, what's going to lead us to that? He says, continuing steadfastly in prayer. And it seems that what Paul is telling us here is a healthy prayer life, a steadfast prayer life, is going to make us steadfast people. Steadfast in our love for one another. Steadfast in our diligence. Steadfast in our serving of the Lord. Those things are going to be diligent in us, fervent in us, as our prayers are diligent and fervent. And in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, prayer comes at the end of the description of the armor that the Christian has. We're to put on the whole armor of God. And then at the very end of that, He says, and energize that with prayer. Pray and make prayer a part of your spiritual armor. And when you do that, what you will find is that prayer will strengthen all of the other armor, the belief, the walk that we have, and all of those kinds of things. In our battle with Satan, prayer will strengthen those things. And so he says, pray without ceasing. Prayer is essential because trust is essential. And prayer is a natural outgrowth of trust. And so he tells the Colossians in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. And so joy is to be ours always. Prayer and trust in prayer is to be ours without ceasing. And he says in verse 18 that we are to be a thankful people. In everything, give thanks. Thankfulness is as much essential to our being Christians as is joy and trust, or joy and faith. And so we've already seen there in Colossians 4 and verse 6 that the prayer that we give when we are filled with anxiousness, with anxiety, and we offer that prayer to God, Paul says, do it with thanksgiving. Don't forget to be thankful to God. And we'll see that, I think, the connection between being thankful to God and the anxiety slipping away. We'll see that connection as we go through here in just a second. And 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, are new to our study, and they emphasize the fact that thankfulness is to be part of our prayers. In regard to praying for those who have secular leadership over us, governmental authorities and people of that nature, he says, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. He says, when you're praying for your governmental authorities, don't just pray that they'll do the job that God wants them to do. Be thankful to God that we have those who are leading us, who are bringing order to our secular lives. Don't forget to be thankful for what God has given us as far as governmental leadership is concerned. And so, thankfulness is to be an integral part of the prayers that we offer to our God. But not only is thankfulness part of our prayers, thankfulness is part of our overall worship to God. Go over to Revelation chapter 7, and we see the throne room of God here in this passage. Revelation chapter 7. And verse 12, and we have around the throne of God, we have these angels, we have these 24 elders, we have these four living creatures. And what are they doing? They're before the throne of God, and they are bowing down, and the last part of verse 11, they are worshiping God. And notice what they say as they worship God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. What are they doing? They're worshiping God, and part of their worship to God, an integral part of their worship to God, is they're offering to Him thanksgiving for what He has done. Not just for them, but I think mainly for humanity. Who Jesus Christ died for, who Jesus Christ came to save, that humanity that has accepted Jesus Christ and has received the salvation of their souls. He says they offer to God in their worship thanksgiving. Just as it was important to them that they offer thanksgiving, so it is to us. Being thankful to God and praising God. And you look over in the book of Psalms and how many times that David makes that point about praising the Lord, worshiping Him, and he says, do it with thanksgiving. make Thanksgiving a part of that praise of God. And not only that, but being thankful to God is a vital part of the acceptance of all of God's gifts. Go with me, if you would, over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is describing what would become an apostasy, a falling away, that at the time that Paul writes it was something that was going to be happening in the future. And he says there in verse 1, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." These are horrible people. These are people who have apostatized the truth of Jesus Christ. What are they doing? Are they telling people you ought to do something that is wrong? When you look at verse 3, what they're doing is telling people that they need to withhold from themselves things that are right. Realize that's apostasy as well. We oftentimes emphasize in apostasy that it's trying to get somebody to do something wrong. Well, apostasy is certainly that, but it can also be trying to withhold from people the right to something that God has said is perfectly okay, and that God has given mankind to use. To say, you can't use that, you can't have that, even though God has never said you can't, is just as much apostasy as to say you can go ahead and do something that God has said you should not do. And so what are they doing? Well, they're forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received. How? With thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. Everything that God has given to us to use, Paul says we can use. God desires that we use. We use for our needs. We use for our happiness. God has given those things to us for us to use. Paul says use them. And don't let anybody convince you that you can't use what God has given to us to use. That's an important principle, isn't it? But notice what he adds to that. He adds to that that these things that God has given to us to use, we are to use them, but we're to be very careful that we express thanksgiving for those things as well. As much as God wants us to use the things that God has given to us to use, He wants us, in fact, He requires of us that we be thankful to Him for those things. What a sad thing it is for people to use all the great blessings that God has given. What a terrible thing it is to use all of those things and never acknowledge that God has given us those things. To never be thankful to God for the things that He has given to us. And in fact, in Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 21, the Apostle Paul says that this lack of thanksgiving is really the highest form of dishonor to God. He says that these people who went off into the most horrible kinds of sin got going down that road to lives filled with sin, because they first did not know God, neither were they thankful. I'll tell you, ceasing to be thankful to God is going to start you down a road where you'll lose your soul in eternity. And so never, ever forget to be thankful to God. Never forget to express that thanksgiving to Him in prayer and in worship. Okay. So the importance of thanksgiving is clearly established in God's Word. But you may ask, how can we possibly be thankful during a crisis? I'll tell you, 2020 has been something, hasn't it? It seems like one crisis after another from the very beginning of the year. We've got crisis after crisis after crisis. And just as we think that one year can't possibly get any worse, all of a sudden something else happens and it gets worse. And another crisis comes upon us. And we ask ourselves, how can we possibly be thankful to God in the midst of a year like 2020? Especially if we are suffering the things that everybody else is suffering for, and then something else happens to us personally. We get sick, we have cancer, we lose our fortune, whatever it is that comes upon us in an individual sense. How can we possibly be thankful to God in those kinds of situations? Well, the answer to being thankful to God is to look past those crises that we are in to the blessings that we have. Because I tell you, there's not a single person who has ever lived on the face of this earth that really has nothing to be thankful for. I don't care how bad life has become, everybody has something to be thankful for. And especially is that true for the Christian. How can a Christian how can a Christian find it hard to find something to be thankful for? I want to give you three things that we can be thankful for even in the deepest crisis. The first is the good gifts that are amidst the crisis. Sometimes we'll allow crisis in our lives to cause us to overlook the fact that God is still there and that God is still giving us things, that God is still evidencing His care and His concern for us in maybe some of the very small things that we have in our lives. And the more we are in these crises, the more difficult it really becomes to remember that there, you know, in the midst of crisis after crisis after crisis, there is something to be thankful for. There are gifts that God gives to us. The evidence of God's care and concern and love are still there. Acts chapter 27. I'll tell you what, you have somebody here in Acts chapter 27 who really should have found it very difficult to thank God for anything. The Apostle Paul is a prisoner. He's a prisoner for preaching the gospel of Christ. And he's on a ship. He's in chains. He has no freedom. And he's on this ship and he's headed to Rome to appeal his case to Caesar. And all of a sudden the winds come up. And he has warned the owner and the captain of this ship. He's warned them, don't try to make this voyage. But they ignore him and they try to do it anyway. And now they're in trouble. So here is a man who has gone through all kinds of difficulties. He's a slave on a ship headed to Rome that is about to become shipwrecked. And he knows that. How in the world could he ever find something to be thankful for? Well, go down to verse 35. Paul has told these men on this ship that they really need to eat something. They've been a couple of weeks without eating anything because of the struggle that they are having to keep this ship afloat. He says you need to eat something. And in verse 35 he says, and when he had said these things, he took bread and did what? And gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. So many things going bad. So many things to be anxious and fearful and really angry about. But then there's that loaf of bread. There's that loaf of bread for which he can be thankful through all the crisis. And I ask you, what about you? All of us are going through crisis. Some are going through severe crisis. But in the crisis, in the most severe of crisis, can you find those things, those small things that are evidence of God's continuing love and concern for you? Secondly, in crisis, we can be thankful for one another, and especially is that true of Christians. We can be thankful for one another. Paul comes through the shipwreck, and he finds his way to Rome. Finally, through all of this hardship, he is now approaching the city of Rome. In verse 15 of chapter 28, it says, "And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and three inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage." And so through all of this crisis that he is going through, he sees his brethren and what his brethren do as they come to him and express their love and their concern for him. It causes him to be courageous, and it causes him to thank God for them. Go to Philippians chapter 1. You know, go through some time and see how many at the start of these epistles of Paul, how many times he tells them, "I thank God for you." Even in churches that are not all that God would have them to be, even when he's writing it because he has to get on to them for something, he says, "I thank God for you." Especially is that true in Philippi, who had come to his aid time and time again, who had helped him out through so many crises in his life. He says in verse 3 of chapter 1 of Philippians, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always and in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy." Kind of see all three of our points there, don't you? I thank God for you, I pray for you, and I am joyful in that experience. He says, and realize this is a man now who is in prison, a man who is now being mistreated. He says, "But I sure am thankful for people like you, for you and people like you who come to my aid, especially in those times of crisis." And what that lets me know that God hadn't abandoned me. God hadn't abandoned me. God has given me you, and God has given you me in order to be an encouragement and a help through the crisis that we have. And so I would encourage you, as you are going through crisis, and the greater the crisis becomes, remember God hadn't promised to insulate you from crisis. What He's promised is to give you some crisis relief through people, through this church, which is the evidence of His wisdom in giving us one another in this wonderful relationship. So in crisis, be thankful for God's gifts. Even those small little gifts, see those gifts as blessings from God, and see the importance of one another that God has given to us. Now perhaps someone says, "You know, I'm just finding it really hard to find anything as far as good gifts to be thankful for, and I kind of feel alone and like that others have abandoned me." I'll tell you something that every Christian can be thankful for, and that is salvation. Whatever happens in your life, whatever crisis you have to go through, you can go through it. You can go through it with joy. You can go through it with trust, because God has promised you something better. God has promised salvation to those who are faithful to Him. Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, verse 17, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Paul says, here's something. Here's the ultimate thing to be thankful to God for. And that is that at one time sin was part of your life. Sin had you shackled, but God freed you from that. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Isn't victory something to be thankful for? Even in the midst of the deepest of crisis, isn't it something to be thankful for that God is going to see us through that? Not eliminate the crisis, but see us through the crisis and see us all the way to eternal life. Give us a victory. I'll tell you, there's some things that it seems like we just can't get the victory over. This COVID thing, I don't know that we'll ever get the victory over it. Maybe so, maybe not so. There are other things in life that we will not get the victory over. It'll get us. But I'll tell you what each and every one of us can have victory over, and that's sin. You can be thankful to God because of your victory in Jesus Christ, no matter what else is going wrong in your life. And so that's our sermon for this morning. I hope that it'll be helpful to you, not just Thursday, as you're really emphasizing the idea of thanksgiving to God for the blessings that He's given, but every day of your life, every moment of every day of your life, you are thankful to God for the wonderful blessings that God has given to us. Perhaps there's someone here this morning who cannot yet say, "I am thankful to God for salvation," because you've not yet been obedient to the gospel. If that describes you, we want to help you this morning. We want to help you to come to Jesus Christ for the salvation that His shed blood affords. Can we help you to do that this morning? Can we help you in any way as you strive to serve God so that you can be thankful for the victory that is in Christ Jesus? If we can, let us know how we can by coming forward right now as together we stand and sing.